as we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, if you'll take your Bible out and hold it open there, because we're going to go back and look at that several different times. A healthy church is a church that understands that everybody has a gifting and understands that everybody has a contribution to make in their unique way. When churches become unhealthy is when churches start to compete for prominent positions or places of leadership and people put themselves or are assigned to places where they have no business being. And all of a sudden, chaos becomes the order of the day and people are tugging and pulling and, you know, I want this gift and I want... The Bible even speaks to that, where some people think that the more prominent gifts, the ones with the microphone or the ones that are more visible, are much more valuable. Vacation Bible School this past week is a good microcosm, a good example, a good study case of how a good organization works. I can tell you without any reservation that we ran 200 children and almost 100 volunteers plus 300 people through a week. And it was a well-tuned machine, wasn't it, Miss Ruth? I mean, it just went so well. Why? Because the Spirit of God descends on Vacation Bible School, number one, with the goal of having a great week of Bible teaching and an outcome of leading people to faith in Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit descended on Vacation Bible School, but everybody understood their role and everybody understood that they had value in the whole of the week and the whole of the organization accomplishing the work that the Lord called for each of us to be a part of. And let me just say this as we examine Vacation Bible School as a sampling of what the church life is supposed to be. The corn dogs and the white bread ham sandwiches are just as important as the Bible teaching lessons and the recreation. All of them are important. There's not one that's more prominent and more important than the other. And so when everybody sees their value as a part of the whole and are all pitching in and pulling together for the common goal and the common good, then it works well. Well, that's a sampling of a week. Well, it is a sampling of what the function of the church needs to be. That we all understand that we come together and all contribute in our unique and special way, depending on others to contribute in unique and special ways in order to accomplish the focused ministry of the church. Well, what is the focused work and focused ministry of the church? Well, we do a lot of things around here, from feeding people and that are in need on Monday to teaching children during the week to having worship here to Bible school to evangelism to nursing homes to all kinds. We do all kinds of things. But what is the overall goal? The overall goal is to focus on the mission of Jesus Christ. And the mission of Jesus Christ is to build up the saints in the body of Christ. And additionally, and even more primarily, to add more saints, if you will, to the body of Christ, which is the matter of evangelization and invitation and in drawing more and more people into this relationship with Jesus Christ. And all of us, as Miss Jo said, have unique ways to contribute to that overall goal, accomplishing the purpose of Jesus Christ in this place. And as we think of these matters of spiritual gifts, as the spiritual gifts were given or conferred upon the early church, the New Testament church, for three primary functions. They were, first of all, needed in the first church as a pledge of Christians to one another to basically stick together against unspeakable odds in order to function as the church. When we look at the book of Acts and the Holy Spirit pouring himself into this group of apostles and about 120 strong who became the first church in that upper room, they were coming together for the cause of Christ and believing in Jesus Christ, and nobody was for them. Everybody was against them. They wanted them to go over yonder and not be here. Why do I know that? Well, because prior to Acts chapter 2, they'd killed Jesus for this belief system. And so here are the few that followed Jesus who'd already been killed and come back to life and now has gone to heaven. And so their spiritual gifting was, first of all, a pledge to one another to stick together against unspeakable odds. And secondly, when they stuck together against unspeakable odds, they had the opportunity to share Christianity in the world. You notice in your bulletin, we're going to do a little assignment in the end, but take out your bulletin and notice in the little pastor's lines, there's a little drawing. And a little while later, we're going to fill that in. But it's important that little drawing is an opportunity to express Christianity to the community and to the world. We drew it in the bulletin, but you can draw it on a napkin. And more importantly than that, we're going to fill in the little blanks in a minute and draw it on your heart so that in any moment, in any time when you leave here and go to school or work or play or grocery store, wherever you may go, you may be able to have the simple message of the gospel, the simple message of Jesus Christ to communicate to anyone. Here's one of the things we learned during the week of Vacation Bible School. When we sat down with children from the community and talked to them about the things of the Bible and the things of the Lord, many, many, a shame that it's true, but many, many times we met children who have absolutely no frame of reference for the Word of God, the Bible stories, the culture of the church, absolutely no knowledge in Jennings and surrounding area, Louisiana. And the other thing we know is that every one of the children that come from families were eager beyond description to learn everything possible about the Bible in that week. The one thing that breaks my heart about the children of Vacation Bible School that aren't from our church, the one thing that breaks my heart, and I just want you to pray towards this being not the case, is that so many children come into our Vacation Bible School for the week and say how wonderful the week was. This is what breaks my heart. See you next year. See you next year. And Bible school becomes a once-a-year spiritual exposure for children. And I want to just grab them by the ears and say, we meet every week. We do this all the time. And the same to the parents. And really, the truth of it is, that is a part of our message. To not just allow see you next week and see you next year to be the okay part of the culture of our Vacation Bible School for our community, but to grow people into, oh, you have this every week, and to see you next week, and to continue to foster this Bible teaching, Jesus relationship teaching all the year long. Church, we've been here on this corner for 100 years. It's our responsibility to be this to our community, just like the very first New Testament church, which was all about taking a risk to communicate the message of Jesus. And thirdly, which becomes a primary function of spiritual gifts, the spiritual gifting that each one of us is conferred with as a part of the body, as a part of this particular body, is to edify and build up one another. Well, that seems so introspective and so self-serving, but it has a function. Here is the understanding. If we build up one another and are with one another, and as you say in the streets, have one another's back, pray for one another, support one another, care for one another, walk through life with one another, do life with one another, care deeply about one another. What happens as a result of that is we are connected to one another in that body of Christ? Well, the things that we go through have support. The matters that we deal with called life have a community of people that walk with. And when we are going through things individually, then we are supported and we are stronger individually. And we also are stronger collectively and have a collective resolve to be the kind of body that seeks to grow together and strengthen together and face the world together and not be so alone. And so when the church is that, and when the church does that for the people one with another, a stronger church is a healthy church and is an effective church to accomplish the primary purpose of Jesus beyond the walls of this church in the community where we'll go to in just a matter of moments. And so it's important for us to get a grip on who we are. It's important for us to get a grip on how we're wired. It's important for us to know that as we're wired, the way we're wired, and the Spirit of God blesses the way we're wired to be useful in His work, that we can go with that in all the passion of our lives. Joe and I were in the singles ministry together. We were coming together. We were dating a little bit. And this matter of spiritual gifts became exposed to us. And I began to discover in my own life that the matter of leadership and teaching was prevalent in my life. And then when God called me into ministry to be the pastor, it was reinforced by the fact that those kind of gifts were in me already. And I could see that those leading gifts could be used for His purpose in the church. And that was galvanized in her life and in my life as we were coming together to be married. I must also say in front of my wife, I am so very thankful that she has the gift of mercy. Because I ain't got much. I mean, I am so thankful. In fact, I'll just give you one little side testimony here. When I was first on staff as a church as an intern, the pastor came to me and Brother Brian asked me to go to the hospital and make a visit to somebody in the hospital. And I called my wife on the way to the hospital. I got off and found a payphone. It was before cell phone. I called my wife at work and I said, "The pastor has asked me to go to the hospital. What do I do?" I mean, I had no clue what to do. I never will forget. It was like a movie scene, walking into that person's room. It was the most terrible hospital visit. It was awful. I didn't know what to do. But I showed up and I said prayer and I got out of there quick because it was just, you know, I just don't have that. But my wife's taught me mercy and I'm thankful for that as we contribute to one another. And we all learn from one another as we build up one another, the body of Christ in the church. Well, when you look at chapter 12, you see that, as was read a moment ago, that we are to understand that the Holy Spirit gives us gifts. And secondly, we are to understand the diversity of gifts. And those diversity of gifts and activities, verse 7, are revealings or the manifestation of the Spirit to be given as profit for all. And that's what we've just been talking about. It is the manifestation or the revealing of the Spirit for the profit of all. And then there's a list of some of the gifts. Some have the gift of wisdom, reading quickly through. Some have the gift of knowledge, which is primarily biblical knowledge. Some have the gift of faith, which is that unusual ability to understand that God's going to work it out. Not everybody has the gift of faith. If you come to know Jesus Christ as personal Savior, you come by faith. But those who have the gift of faith have this unusual and excessive and to others ability to understand that God is going to work matters out in your life and my life and the lives of others. Isn't that a wonderful gift to have as a contribution into your life? If you have a small amount of faith and begin to fret and worry about every little thing, a person of faith can come and build you up in that matter of faith so that you can be more faithful and less worrisome in life. God has the ability to give some the gift of healings. We talked about the great value that our medical doctors contribute. And those natural gifts of skill are contributing to gifts of healing. And doctors come in and lay hands on people and make them better and make them well. Spiritually, God can heal people as well. And those two companions come together and bring wellness to people's lives. Healing is not only physical, though, because healing is also spiritual and emotional and relational, and all matters of fixing can happen as God brings the gift of healing into people's lives to make people well and to make people better as God would want them to be. The gift of miracles is closely associated with the gift of healing, the gift of discerning of the spirits, the gift of prophecy, which is the foretelling of things that are to come, the gift of tongues, speaking in other languages, and the gift of interpretation of tongues. And look in verse 11. But one and the same Spirit works in all of these, distributing to each one individually as He has will. Now, that's also important to know that we don't determine our gifts. We don't leverage what we think we ought to be doing to contribute to the church. Now, there's some times when people got to pitch in and pick up the slack. And just because you don't have the gift of hospitality don't mean you can't make a batch of cookies for a fellowship. I mean, that's not a hard thing to do, but there are those who are uniquely able to bring that hospitality activity into place. And so it's important for us to know that these gifts are given by the Spirit. And we also understand that the gifts are given by the Spirit to serve one another in the church. So that then, secondly, the church can serve our community. To serve our community. To leave here with the motivation and the eagerness to contribute to the community in which we live. Because the truth of it is, Jennings and the surrounding area, Welch, Lake Arthur, Elton, all needs us to contribute to the community. Amen? The community needs Jesus people to sow Jesus into the community. So the community that we live in is better. So that with the community that we live in is of Jesus Christ continually gaining ground, touching hearts, growing people into homes, and growing Jesus into homes by relationships that Jesus affords you and me the opportunity to have. We can't just go and hide ourselves in our homes and hope it'll get better. We have the opportunity for it to be better because of the resonant resource of the Spirit and the resident resource of Jesus that he's given each one of us. So we not only serve one another in the church, but we also are called to serve in our community so that the community sees us representing Jesus Christ. One of the best testimonies that you could have is when you begin to talk about Christ in your community, to have people respond to you that they're not surprised that you're a Christian because of the life that you've been living. And so we want to live consistency from here to wherever we go next so that people will see Christ, Jesus Christ, in us. And ultimately, so that people can receive Jesus. So that people can come to the place in their life where they realize that they're a sinner. And apart from that sin, I'll be separated from God forever if I don't do anything about it. And come to the place where I understand that Jesus did something about it for me if I believe. One of the best things that I get to do as pastor is to sit down, and Brian and Eric can say the same thing, to sit down with children who have just come to know Jesus Christ as personal Savior and hear some of their conclusions about that new decision. One sweet little girl told me this week, "Brother Eric preached the evangelistic message. I realized I didn't have Jesus and I needed Jesus. And so I just accepted Jesus because I just realized that's what I needed to do." And she was so sassy about it. And I thought, wow, so simple, so clear. I just needed to accept him. And that's what I needed to do. I was like, well, all right, you know what you're doing. We confirmed that and off she goes. And what a blessing to watch that occur. So how do we help people to know Jesus? One of the biggest barriers to communicating this relationship with Jesus, quite frankly, is us. We lock up. We're fearful. We get paralyzed at this matter of simply communicating the most important thing that's ever happened in our lives. Well, look, take your pencil and paper out, and I want you to follow this little video, and we're going to fill in some blanks, and then I'm going to talk about how we can use a simple tool to help us communicate Jesus better. Derek, I got them all in my head. I'm sorry. Derek Laughlin, would you please hit play? So the first circle you want to fill in is God's design. You in the choir, you can't see it on the other screen. God's design happens when he made us, as Miss Joe said, but sin enters and leads us to be broken. And broken people try to find all kinds of things to fix the brokenness in their lives. You may have been there, just trying and trying and trying, but it never will go away. The only way brokenness will be fixed is if we repent and believe, repent of our sin and believe in Jesus. When we're intersected with the gospel. And once that happens, we can recover and pursue, I'll leave that up, if you will, God's plan for our lives. You see, it's really simple. As Miss Jo said a moment ago in the introduction, God put us all in the earth. He formed us in our mother's womb before we were even born. He knew all about us and he created us. And each one of us has a perfect purpose to contribute to the Lord's world. Everybody here and down the street and around the corner and at Piggly Wiggly and everyone. God has a perfect design for each one of us. But what happens is we begin to sin. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And when we sin, we begin to sever our relationship with God's perfect plan for our lives. And that severing of that relationship for God's perfect plan for our lives leads to brokenness. We're incomplete. We're separated from God. Things don't work right. And many, many people try to find a way to fix the brokenness by all manner of human discoveries. And we see thousands and thousands, but they just lead to more brokenness. And the only way that brokenness of life is going to be fixed is if we repent and believe. We come to the place of saying, "Jesus, I have sinned. And my sin is not going to get fixed until I give it to you. I repent of my sin and believe in you and intersect your life with the gospel." Well, what's the gospel? Well, the gospel is the story of what Jesus did. It's simply Jesus came to earth on command of the Father. He lived a perfect, sinless life as an example to us. But he was killed as a result. And when he died on the cross for our sins. And he took sin upon himself and took our place if we'll allow him. Now, we can't just know that in our heads that Jesus died on the cross. We have to believe it in our hearts in order for it to become real. And when we repent of our sin and believe in our hearts that Jesus did what he said he did, then we can start to see the brokenness healed. And when the brokenness begins to be healed, we are then and only then desirous of pursuing God's original design for our lives. We recover from the brokenness and we begin to pursue God's design for our lives. One of the designs of God upon our life is to serve one another in the church. And the other part of God's design for our lives is to communicate this message of Jesus in the community. And the circle continues as we are working in the plan. Now, isn't that simple to explain? It takes a minute or two to sketch it out. But if you'll sketch that out and put it on a napkin or put it in a little card and you know, in your place or put it, you'll be able to communicate that. And anytime anybody has a conversation, you'll be able to share this message with them. I flew back from Phoenix. I got on a plane with sat next to a lady that owns a clothing shop in Lafayette. And she began to ask me to pray for her 21-year-old son. She started to weep because he's messing up his life, she said, as a mother would be for her son. And I happened to have this drawing and I was just working out. And I said, let me show you what you need to show your son. And I drew and I showed and I said, now look, this is what he needs. And she fully agreed. I said, would you agree with me that he needs this? Yes. I said, would you agree that you would share this with your 21-year-old son? She took it and she put it in her items. And I'm certain that she took it to him and gave him this message. She said, because my son right now is broken. And all those things that you, those squirreling lines, that's what he's doing to try to get it fixed. He already understood it. And I said, well, give him this so he can understand the gospel. It's just that simple. Church, even here today, many of you have been here as guests and as spectators and regular attenders. You've integrated into the life of the church and more than likely have had this converted relationship to Jesus Christ. But the extension of that gospel impact is to follow through with the matter of baptism, to come publicly and say, this has happened in my life. The gospel has intersected me by my story, and it includes the ministry of this church. And so I want to follow through with this matter of committing my life to him. I want to follow through in baptism. I want to follow all the way. I want to go all in and let my church be a part of that. If that is on the fringe of what's happening in your life, today is the day for that to be completed. Today is the day for that to follow through as simply as possible. I know there are children already ready to come and to have that experience today. And others, adults, families, need to have that experience and unite with Jesus Christ and begin to serve officially in the ministry of this church. So we're going to sing a song in a moment, and I invite you to come. I simply invite you to come to Jesus, not to me, not to the church, but come to Jesus and say, I want this in my life. I want to seal this relationship. I want to seal this along with my family and unite with this who becomes the family that I own and I possess. Would you come today? Would you be invited? I want to pray for you today. And if you're ready to follow through with that decision, when we stand to sing that last song, stand and walk. Don't stand and stand. Stand and walk. And just stand and step, just like that. And come, and we'll pray with you and show you how to follow through in the matter of becoming a born-again believer, uniting with his church, ready to serve in the world.